Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips to the PC. It is Saturday, the 29th of October, Anno Domini 2016, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues, here comes the news. But also, before we do that, I should mention that we are still in our pledge drive. Yes, that's right. We're still quite a bit short of our goal, and we were hoping to wrap it up in 2 weeks, but frankly, you did not step up, and so we're here for a third week, hoping to entice you to keep this show and this station on the air, and the only way you can do that is to become a member of Jazz 90.1. It's real easy to do. You can call 585-966-5299. Or, of course, 1-800-790-0415. And, indeed, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It takes less than 2 minutes, and you don't even have to talk to an actual human being. The beauty, of course, of doing it online is that you annoy Rob, because he's then got to get up off his butt and take a look at what came in, and then
works for me.
And then and then send it to us. So please, we want to stay on the air, both as a station and as this show. You know, we said it before, and it happened. Last time we didn't make our nut, things had to change. Luckily, we were not one of them, but we would like to not have anything change this time, because anybody's head, including ours, can be on the chopping block. So please, if you have not. Become a member. If you have, thank you very much. And if you want to give an additional pledge, great. And of course, if you want to pledge at one of our levels, 35, 50, whatever, at the 90-10 level or above, the frequency, Kenneth, at the 90-10 level or above, you get the Jazz 90.1 member card, which is a BOGO thing, buy one, get one, a two-for-one deal on bunches of restaurants and places like that. And you should definitely take a look at that and make that deal. You can also, of course, become a Jazz-O-Matic member if you pledge $10 or more per month. You can, of course, cancel your pledge at any time. But if you pledge $10 or more per month, we'll take that directly out of your account, and then you don't have to think about it again ever. And we honestly believe we're worth $10. Many of you clearly do not think that, but we think we are worth $10. And as we said before, if everybody listening to this show, listening live, listening on the YouTube stream once that gets up this week, or on the live stream coming out over the web or through the podcast, which we put up every week for free, if people listening would all, each of you, just send in $10. We'd be way, way, way ahead. Like I said, we think we're worth $10. Many of you apparently do not. And I guess that's the way that goes. So, to the news.
Dun, dun, dun.
Nothing interesting happened this week. Oh, wait, no, there were a couple of things, one of which was this week Apple unveiled a completely revamped MacBook Pro lineup for the first time since giving the laptops Retina displays back in 2012. Yes, 4 years ago. Both laptops are still recognizably MacBook Pros, but in keeping with Apple's design priorities, they have slimmer profiles and smaller footprints. This made it, but at some point, Apple's going to have to give up and just sell people a sheet of paper.
Which is a common trope in science fiction stories and movies, where that's your computer.
Right.
Sheet of paper rolls out, full color, touchscreen, voice interactive. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what we're working toward.
Yeah. Both laptops are still recognizably MacBook Pros, but they are smaller and have slimmer profiles. This is made possible in part by the move to USB Type-C ports, like the one in the MacBook, all four of which support Thunderbolt 3. All four ports can be used to charge the system, too. Apple has also made the cowardly decision to retain the headphone jack. The new laptops are thinner and lighter, with the 13-inch model weighing 3 pounds and the 15-inch model coming in at 4 pounds. The single most striking difference between the old and new Pros is that the role of function keys and, yes, the escape key, have been removed and replaced with a long OLED touchscreen panel called the Touch Bar, which sounds like somewhere I would prefer my daughter not go. And that Touch Bar can do different things depending on what you're doing and what apps you're running. Touch Bar changes the buttons displayed according to the app. When typing, you get an autocomplete suggestion. Safari can show bookmarks. When you're working in the desktop, you get the regular brightness and volume and other keys. To get traditional function keys and an escape key, you hold down the FN key. Apple demonstrated a range of integrations with apps using Touch Bar to swipe through photos, write apps in Xcode, which so many of you will be doing, play instruments in GarageBand, and etc. To the right of the Touch Bar is an embedded Touch ID button, that does pretty much the same stuff it does in the modern iOS devices. Lets you use registered fingerprints to unlock the system, use Apple Pay and Safari, a macOS Sierra feature that otherwise requires an iPhone or an Apple Watch. The computers both include Retina displays. These screens can show more vivid shades of green and red than the screens in older models. The screens do maintain the same resolution and density as the old models. Both systems include the new Skylake processors from Intel, dual-core chips in the 13-inch Pro and quad-core chips in the 15-inch model, just like before. The 13-inch Pro ships exclusively with Intel Iris 550 GPUs, while the 15-inch models ship with Polaris-based AMD Radeon graphics at the high end. Apple's choice of CPUs and GPUs may come as a disappointment to people who have been waiting impatiently these last 4 years for Apple to refresh its notebooks, but next-generation Kaby Lake CPUs suitable for MacBook Pros won't be out until January, and in most respects, they bring only minor improvements over Skylake. For both, Apple claims 10 hours of battery life. I hope you're sitting down for this next part. If you're driving, please pull over. The 13-inch model costs between $1,500 and $2,500. The 15-inch model costs between $2,400 and $4,300 without pre-installed software. You can also get it, if you want to pay yet even more, you can get it with Final Cut Pro and Logic.
Audio editing and professional video editing.
Right. Two colors are available, silver and space gray. Ordering's already begun. Shipping starts in about 2 or 3 weeks. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That is Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you is Apple introduces brand new MacBook Pros. Your choices are, I've already ordered mine. Wow, pretty nifty stuff. Looking at it seriously. Really? That's it? Too much money, not enough benefit, and so glad I run Linux. So far, 29 of you have voted, and so glad I run Linux seems to be ahead at this point. Now I know you'll have more to say, because there is a lot to say about this. So if you scroll down on the right underneath the search bar, you'll see fascinating stuff. And the first choice there is the forums, and the second forum down is the poll discussion, and so far at least, the first forum discussion is 29 October 16. Apple introduces brand new MacBook Pros. So far, four people have posted, and we'd love to have you join them. And we'd also love to have you join us. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Okay.
That is still, man.
What?
Yes.
Expensive.
$4,300 for a laptop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you take the.
I'll take my $300 Google Chromebook, 15-inch.
Right. Right.
In a change in past history, Apple typically releases the new computers at the same price, and the previous models drop in price. This year, they increased the price of the new computers. They kept the old computers in the product line. For those of you that still want the previous set of ports. And did not lower the price. So it's we're not really too sure about if we like these updates or not.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because
There are a lot of changes, so you have a lot of choices to make.
Yeah. They discontinued the 11-inch MacBook Air.
Right.
Because the 12-inch MacBook was already smaller. It was physically smaller, but had a bigger screen.
Mm-hmm.
And the 13-inch Retina basically replaced with the new 13-inch with Thunderbolt ports. They released a version of the new model without the touch bar on it, but it has a slower processor than the previous generation. So you get the Thunderbolt 3, but you get a slower processor. And the strange thing is that the low end of the market, people probably aren't going to be using Thunderbolt 3. And if you're going to be using regular USB devices, you get to buy yet another dongle.
Right.
So that's a lot of the comics and blog postings were talking about, you know, even more dongles you have to buy now.
Right. I saw Joy of Tech this week.
Yeah. Or, what you're supposed to do, Phil Schiller showed it off. I guess he had the courage to show this off. LG apparently partnered with Apple to make a new 5K 27-inch monitor. That's only $1,300.
Yeah, and you can have two of them.
And you can have two of them, yeah, because there's four ports on the bigger models. So you can have two of those. And
$2,600 bucks plus $4,300 for the device.
And then he had a 24-terabyte RAID on it. That was probably $6,000.
So that's about $7,000 you belong about. No, yeah. No. Seven plus six, $13,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That works for me. Yeah.
But in the markets they're targeting.
I'd rather buy, what would that be, about 28 or 30 Chromebooks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the high-end audio-video markets, those are big machines.
But if I'm
Apple has
do
never
that,
really sold at the low end, and that's frustrating for a lot of
but
people.
But here's what I don't understand. If I'm going to do that, why wouldn't I buy an iMac, whatever the desktop thing is called, if I'm going to do video, audio, et cetera, editing? I get faster processors. I get more disk space. I get a bigger monitor to do stuff on. I'm not sure what benefit I get from paying extra to have it be portable when I'm not going to do portable things
with
it.
You can carry it to your shoots. But there's so much equipment they carry to shoots anyway. Carry the Mac, iMac.
I don't get it. My daughter called. I told you this. My daughter called me up. I don't even think they had finished the stream of the announcements. My daughter calls me. So what do you think? I said, honey, I'm prepping for class. I don't think anything. I didn't even watch it. I'll watch it later. So we talked later, and she said, she's getting completing her master's degree in art history, and she's going to go on for a PhD. And she said, in the art world, we use Macs. That's what we use. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, then you have to have a Mac. She said, I already have a MacBook Pro, and it's old, it's a little slow, but it works fine. And she said, if I were to load out the new MacBook Pro 15-inch with everything I want, versus an iMac loaded out with everything I want, and oh, by the way, a 27-inch monitor.
But of course.
By the way, she said, if I bought the iMac, I would save $1,000 and still get everything I want. I just can't get it right.
I got a feeling this is coming around. She would save out of your pocketbook.
Yeah, I think that's where that's eventually going to go. But she said she's not going to buy it now. She doesn't need it now. She even admitted that. She said, you know, once I get to graduate school, then I'll think about it, see how my old MacBook is actually doing. She said, but if, you know, as long as the old MacBook works, I can still take that to class and take notes, because that's really all she does in class with it. She said, and I'd come home and have my real one there. And she said, if it came to that, if that died, she said, I'll buy a Chromebook.
How many days to Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah, no, this would be, this. By the time she's ready, there will be new MacBook, iMacs. Which theoretically are coming out sometime shortly.
We don't
next year.
Yeah, next year. We don't expect anything more before Christmas. They surprised us a couple years ago with the new iMac in November, which was frustrating because we'd already bought all we needed for Black Friday.
Right.
Yeah. So, and that's half the problem that we run into as a dealer, is that we have to buy stuff ahead of time for Christmas because the supplies are always short by then.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour, it's Sound Bites and the truly great and barely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is Mike Velasquez. Join me every Monday from 8 p.m. to midnight on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we are in the middle of a pledge drive.
Yeah, we're still a little short.
We'd like to be at the end of the pledge drive, but we're still a little short. And unlike so many other... What the heck was that? Somebody threw a pen.
It jumped.
It jumped to its death. It was being unused. If someone would call in, we'd be using a pen, and that would be good. But basically, the idea here is that this station, as you may well know, does not receive federal grants and all that other stuff. Any money that we get to keep this station running comes from you. So you have a choice to make today, as every day. Do you want to see this station continue on the air? Do you want to see this show continue on the air? If you do, you need to make a pledge. It doesn't get any clearer than that. If you want this show to go away, do nothing. You're good. Just turn off the radio and go do something else. But if you want this show to stay on the air, you need to make a pledge. 585-966-5299. 1-800-790-0415, or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We need you now. There isn't any other way we're going to stay on the air. I can't be more boldly honest than that.
Yeah.
If you want us to stay on the air, make the call. If you don't, well, you're doing the right thing. Just sit there and wait till we go away.
And then when you have those computer issues and you have to take it in somewhere,
pay $100.
Yeah, it's gonna pay. You know, you're gonna pay at least $100 or more to get your problem solved. And you know, whereas if you had called it, you know, and supported us like we folks have been doing now for 28 years. You know, and showing how much they appreciate what we do, and the number of, oh, I meant to call, you know, I'm calling you back in to let you know what you suggested worked. Thank you very much.
Are you a member? No.
No, it's all those folks that, you know, are sitting on their hands and not willing to just get up and, you know, just even a few bucks. There is no wrong amount.
That's right. Like I said, I've been saying for weeks, if every single person who listened to this show called in $10, We'd be done.
Yeah.
And you can do it online. You don't even have to talk to a human being. If you're an antisocial curmudgeon, much like me, you can just do it securely online at jazz901.org. I did it yesterday. It took me less than 2 minutes, and it was quite painless, and I never had to speak to a single human being.
And you don't have any scars.
I have no scars. It was... as painless as possible, and you can pledge 2 sound bites, or you can pledge any amount you want. And there's a checkbox that says, you know, the show I'm supporting is Sound Bites, and we would love to have you do that, and we would really love, particularly, to have you make that pledge now. 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And we are going to go to the phones now and talk to Alexis from Irondequoit.
Hi there. I'm catching your show in the car today. It's the first time that I have, and I'm enjoying it. And I do have a question following up on your Mac conversation.
Yep.
You know, I've been in video production. I've been in the industry for years, and I know that Mac is the gold standard that everybody's using.
Yep.
But it can be cost prohibitive, especially for small shops building up their studios.
Right.
So I'm wondering if we can talk about, if you can tell us about PC options when it comes to video editing power, graphics editing power. What should we be looking for in PC options that might be comparable? And, you know, I have friends who are in other cities and other markets who say that PCs are just as good at Macs at video editing, and that, you know, some of the major studios are all Dells, they're all HPs. So, you know, what else is out there besides the Mac?
The two biggest alternative video editing programs are Avid's Media Composer and Adobe Premiere. They are both much more expensive than Apple's Final Cut. And because of the way Apple transitioned their Final Cut Pro program a couple of years ago, a lot of the Apple shops did switch to PCs. Apple's sort of more focusing on the high end of the consumer market now. You know, they're calling it the prosumer. But a lot of the criticisms of Final Cut have been alleviated with new versions. The biggest issue we see with going to the PC world for video editing is people buying too cheap. You know, you get a PC for $500 at Walmart, it can't handle that type of stuff. So comparative hardware, you're looking at a very similar price for the power that Apple gives you. One of the things we've seen in the Apple world is that they don't compete at the low end. It's typically high-end, high power, which is not cheap. So the Dells and the HPs you may see in a video editing shop probably cost in that $2,000, $3,000 for a basic setup as well. And a lot of that becomes the RAM and the storage. You know, typically 16 gigs of RAM minimum. Most video shops we sell to max out the computer, you know, 64 gigs. And getting the software after that is almost the cost of the computer itself by adding in the software licenses. So that's a big thing people don't often budget for, is the cost of the software.
Right. The problem is, you know, you can get, like, there's Wondershare Filmora.
Yeah, there are,
which is free.
There are other video editing suites, but there are the big commercial standards that the production studios use, and all of the post production studios use. So it's kind of hard to go to a production house with an off brand file to get them to do their post production stuff.
Right. So you can get pretty much anything. Filmora is one, and obviously Adobe Premiere Pro is another. Sony Vegas Pro is another. Avid Media is another. But each of them has, Avid Media is $1,300 a year, right? And Adobe Premiere is $50 a month. And iMovie, of course, runs only on a Mac. So Sony Vegas is $600 for a lifetime thing, but as Steve said, they don't necessarily have the features that you would have in
And a lot of the software is going to monthly subscriptions. So instead of paying the couple grand that Media Composer would be, you pay $50 a month, which is easier to take, but you pay that forever. And you never own the software. You're basically just leasing it. But if the advantage of that is that you get the new version automatically when it comes out. And that's why most of the companies started doing subscription fees, is that, especially in the Adobe world, people would skip every other version or so of the Adobe Creative Suite. And Adobe didn't like that. So they started this monthly subscription, which generally works out to that $2,000 over 2 years, because that's what the software would have cost if you'd have bought it outright.
So when it actually comes to the hardware, though, when it actually comes to the video cards, what kind of specs are you actually looking at for something that would have a comparable computing power, editing power of a Mac?
Well, it's usually the same video card the Mac uses.
Yeah. Right, exactly. There's no magic. You can get the same exact video cards for a PC that you get in a Mac. So the high-end Radeon video card, GeForce, a high-end 5K monitor, if that's what you want, lots and lots of RAM, lots and lots of video RAM on the card itself.
Yeah, most of the consumer machines you look at will have integrated video, so it's part of the motherboard, which means it's slow.
Right.
Or if they do have a dedicated video card, it may be 1 gig of video RAM. You want at least 4, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the deal is this. You can buy If you look at the component spec of the new Macs, the iMac or the MacBook Pro, you can price those out in a PC just exactly the same. Right? The only difference is you're now running Windows instead of Linux. Right. So you can buy essentially all the same components, particularly now that Macs have all gone to Intel processors anyway.
The confusion that Intel has bred is that the quad-core i5, which is the standard in the iMacs, you look at Intel's product list, there's 30 different quad-core i5s.
Right.
There's cheap ones and there's good ones.
Right, and I still like going with AMD.
Right.
I still like the AMD chips, which you can save a little bit, though.
Right. Before we get off on a tangent, though, the idea is you can spec out a machine that is identical to or even better than the Macs for approximately the same price, and then it's just a matter of finding the right software. You know, if you want to add a Wacom tablet or a Wacom or a Wacom or however they pronounce that tablet to a Mac or to a PC, same tablet. Right. If you want to get the new Surface machines from Microsoft are talking about, they're all touchscreen. If that's something you want to use, you can take a look at the new Surface.
The Surface Studio starts at $3,000.
Right, but it's a giant monitor. You can get the little twisty dial thing to stick on the screen. You can. It's a touch screen, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of alternatives. The reality is if you don't have the time or the inclination to go and play with that, you go to somebody like Steve who does have expertise in that and ask them about the alternatives. But that in the long run, that's more than a phone call. But the reality is that, yes, absolutely, you can do whatever you want. In the Mac world, also
you turned yourself off.
He did.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that was him. You can do everything you want in the Mac world. Also in the PC world, you just have to find the right combination of parts.
And one of the tricks is to look at a gaming PC,
right,
rather than a regular desktop PC, because gamers want tons of RAM and super fast video cards, which is the same thing
a video editor needs.
So we used to joke that the video card in a gaming PC cost more than the whole rest of the PC.
Yeah.
And you can easily spend $2,000 or $3,000 on, you know, Alienware was the big gaming company. Mm-hmm. And then Dell bought them. And I don't like that. But, yeah, the high-end gaming PCs that have all the high-end and high-performance hardware, because that's what gamers want, too.
Yeah. But, Alexis, the truth is you can do whatever you want in either one. The nice thing about getting a desktop rather than a laptop, of course, is that they're easier and often less expensive to upgrade.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so let's say you can't really afford the super high-end video card this year. You buy a slightly lower-end video card this year, replace it next year.
Good plan. Well, thanks for the information. Enjoying the show, guys.
Thanks. That's what I love to hear. When you get home, don't forget to become a member.
You got it. All right.
See that?
Yep.
Lots of information for somebody. They can...
And that's one other thing she could do, like we were saying before, though, you might max it out as far as the memory. Even if, you know, she doesn't go to 64 gig of memory right now, you know, taking it on up to, say, just even 16 or 32.
Yep.
You know, do it in increments, you know, as the budget allows, especially if she is growing a business. Do what it's going to take so you can do your jobs efficiently. You know, the graphics card, I would admit, is probably, you know, that and the processor. And that's where I was saying also, as far as processors, I'm still a big fan of the AMD chips. You can save a few bucks there. And they're just as fast, just as good.
Yep.
It's the Intel chips.
Yep. Right. You want to do the pricing around, but the basic question that she asked is, can you do the one and the other?
Yeah.
And the reality is you can. Just have to.
Yeah.
The problem is doing it yourself is hard.
Oh, yeah.
Because most of us do not know the deep specs to stuff, whereas you go to somebody like Steve's shop or your shop who has the expertise. Mm-hmm. To compare and contrast and pick something out, you're ahead of the game.
So here's the new Surface Studio with the i7 4 gig video card and 32 gigs of RAM is $4,200.
Yeah. But it's also a gigantic monitor, and it's touch screen, and things like that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is the truly great and so far at least supported by you, member supported, Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, I'm Joelle Van Buren. Please join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 here at member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we still have no one.
Yeah, not a one.
Calling in. All right, to talk a little bit about the Microsoft Surface. The Microsoft Surface family has officially expanded to include a desktop. On Wednesday, Microsoft announced the Surface Studio. It will be available, and I quote, in limited quantities, unquote, this holiday season between $3,000 and $4,200, depending on hardware options. Pre-orders have already begun, and the Studio will be showcased in Microsoft retail stores ahead of its release. The Studio has an all-in-one form factor touted as having the world's thinnest LCD monitor ever built. That touchscreen display is contained in a forged aluminum enclosure and measures 28 inches across. The display outputs 13.5 million pixels, which is 63% more than a 4K television. The Surface Studio supports expanded color output, critical for photographers, videographers, and designers. The display has a 3:2 aspect ratio with 192 pixels per inch. I hope Alexis is listening. It's powered by Intel 6th generation processors, and graphics-wise, it has an NVIDIA GTX 980M GPU in its premium model with a 965M in the lower-priced configurations. The Studio's hinge allows the display to be adjusted to a 20-degree orientation that's convenient for drawing or marking up Word documents. The Studio supports a variety of peripherals, including the Surface Pen and a new radial accessory, the Surface Dial, that can be placed directly on the Studio screen to trigger menus and other features like adjusting volume, screen brightness, or scrolling through a document. There's also built-in palm rejection for the touchscreen, allowing users to avoid false inputs and interact with the Studio comfortably. Its base has numerous connectivity options, audio, SD card, mini display port, Ethernet, and four USB 3.0 ports. There's also a built-in microphone array, making it easy to activate Cortana, the built-in Windows 10 assistant, from across the room. Microsoft's main push with the Surface Studio is all about creativity with a huge focus on 3D. Its unveiling comes alongside the announcement of the Windows 10 Creators Update. The Creators Update aims to make creating 3D content easy and quick for the company's millions of Windows 10 users. It'll include the biggest ever update to the classic Paint app, now called Paint 3D, and more updates are on the way, including apps for the Office suite. Microsoft's hardware division is ramping up its direct competition with numerous Windows PC vendors. It also is taking on Apple's iMac, a popular desktop option among creative professionals. So what do you think of the Studio PC? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. It's an interesting-looking device, actually. I really love the look. Yeah. I got to say, they knocked it out of the park with the look. Two little stands and the being and, able to lift it up and down.
You can lower it down and it becomes a tablet.
Yep.
Basically, a graphics tablet. And you raise it up and it's a computer.
Yep. You can leave it at that 20-degree angle so you can draw on it as if you were at a drawing desk.
Yep.
It's really an amazing little product. I'm very impressed. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that about a lot of Microsoft stuff.
Very little. But this one, they must have had to go to some third-party company to do it right this time.
Probably, but
their hands probably aren't on this one.
But the reality is they did an exceptional job with that. And the fact that it runs Windows really doesn't matter. You know, if assuming that it doesn't update in the middle of something you're doing or whatever, but,
yeah,
as mine has been doing, The fact is that once you're in the program, like whether it's, you know, one of the studio type suites for video editing or whatever, once you're in that, it doesn't matter what operating system you're on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the product that's important to you. So it seems to me like in terms of desktops, certainly this the Microsoft is far more innovative than Apple is. In terms of getting very cool hardware into the hands of the consumer. So I guess we'll see what that translates to in terms of sales.
These are all smaller devices. You know, you're not seeing the big desktops anymore.
Well, this is a big desktop. The studio is 27-inch, 21-inch.
No, I mean box-wise. You know, like the old days. You know.
It's all built right into the monitor. Same thing with the iMacs. It's you get a big screen and everything else is built in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've almost been saying that Johnny Ive must have been on sabbatical for a while because there haven't really been that many interesting innovations lately. Yes, every new thing is thinner. We almost don't care if it's thinner. We want it to be faster and cheaper.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind thicker if it wasn't faster and cheaper. And at the presentation, they pointed out that this is the 25th anniversary of the first Macintosh portable, the PowerBook series. Although he actually. It wasn't the Macintosh portable because that was the 20-pound suitcase that had a handle on it, like the Osbournes and the Osbournes, and the K-Pros back then. The original PowerBook is 6 million times slower than the current MacBook. They did the math on the processor speed. So in 25 years, the computers are 6 million times faster. Most of us wouldn't care if it's thinner and lighter. They shaved half a pound off. That's almost no big deal.
Yeah.
We want it to be faster and cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I wound up doing an update last night on my Chromebook. Took it up to version 54. When did they say running the apps is going to be available? Because you can. I was reading, go into beta mode.
Yeah, you can do it in beta mode now, developer mode.
Developer mode, yeah.
You can go into developer mode and do it now, or you just wait a couple of months and it'll happen automatically.
And it's going to be there.
It doesn't, you know. If you put it in developer mode, you lose whatever settings you've got. But so what? Because you just put in your username and password for Google and all the stuff comes back anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the thing. So if you wanted to do that now, you absolutely could, actually. Generally speaking, the thing they're telling people to do is wait. Because, you know, again, you'll be the guy with the arrow in your back.
Yeah, but sometimes for us, that's...
Right. For us, it's not that big a deal. No. You know, for everybody else out there, wait.
Yeah.
But for us, it's not a big deal. Because
like I say, for me, it's no biggie. Matter of fact, I was playing around with it last night, and I did a few other things, and it kind of, I was having issues getting some of the icons and this type of stuff off of it. Oh, the heck with it. And I just went back down to Power Wash, redid it, came back and said, all right, you got to log in and all that. Okay. Boom. But what impressed me was during all that stuff that I did this, you know, the system, I went from 53 up to 54 as far as the version, and it still stayed at the 54 version.
Yeah, it only upgrades every couple of weeks, so whatever.
So it didn't, I mean, by doing the power wash, it didn't take me back to 53.
Right.
It kept me at the 54, and I thought, now that's pretty impressive. I like that.
Yeah, it is. Yep, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm at 54 myself right now on this Chromebook, and I upgraded this morning, but I still don't have anything about Android. If you go into the search on the settings page and type Android, I get storage management and search engines and smart locking my Android, my Chromebook to my Android phone, but that's it. Oh, I hope that somebody calling with a pledge. That would be delightful. But in general, we haven't yet seen the... oh, great. Somebody's calling in a pledge. I'm reinvigorated. Thank you, whoever that is. Thank you so much. But here's the thing. What we're talking about here, for those of you who are not following the Chromebook world as closely as we do, Chromebooks will shortly have the capability of running Android apps. So the same apps that you run on your Android phone will now mm-hmm. run on your Chromebook. Now, you want the only certain models of the Chromebooks will do that. I don't happen to own one. Certainly it would be better with a touch screen, but it will be doable without the touch screen as well. So mm-hmm. Most apps, of course, there are some games that require a touch screen, blah, 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 blah. But in general, you'll be able to run the various apps. And so... while many people have over time created both Chrome extensions and Android apps, they've been telling Google Google for a long time that they would like to just make one thing. So by letting Android apps run on a Chromebook, you don't have to worry about making two versions of the product. So
yeah.
It's a really pretty nice idea, and I'm looking forward to my next Chromebook, which will do those things.
Yeah, mine currently, I looked at the list. Mine is on the list, you know, to do it. But the one thing, as you know, I wound up going to the Roku box and that type of stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, I can sit there and I can get the old episodes of NBC and ABC. But CBS
right.
isn't on the list. They went off and did their own thing.
Right, they have an app. They have an app for that.
Yeah, so to get the app, though, because if I can get the app, and once I can get it on my Chromebook,
right.
and the old episodes that I want to check out, say like Scorpions, I happen to like that program, I can hook up my Chromebook right to my TV and just stream it right to my TV and get caught up that way.
Yep.
But right now, the Roku box has been fantastic. I'm getting all the other channels that I wanted, even the Hallmark one that I was going to miss out on in the other. And it's like, yep, and saving money. So, you know.
Nothing wrong with that.
I can't complain. No, all I need is green light.
Yes, you need green light. I love my green light.
And now I'm going to have to come over and sit in your part here.
Anytime.
Sit in your driveway.
Anytime.
Hey, Nick, I need them.
Hey, you know you can come over anytime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I know. But it'd be nice to get it in my neighborhood. Because, like I was telling you this morning, lately, I don't know whether, like you used to have the issue of the squirrels and all that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're giving me issues.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I used to have the issue of every couple of years, squirrels would chew the lines. On my cable, and I live in the shadow of Pinnacle Hill. So once that insulation is gone, I get every channel at once on every channel. So
so I think the squirrels have been up there on mine, like you have.
Yeah,
it just it's like son of a gun. All set. Well, it's nesting time, you know, and they're building their nest and everything else, and. It's, like I say, dropping in and out on me. It's like, son of a gun. Oh, well.
But you know what? It doesn't matter because you're going to get green light eventually.
I hope so. Not soon enough.
Yep. It'll happen. We're seeing big changes coming in terms of stuff. We want to thank John. From Rochester, New York, for his very generous donation. Thank you so much, John. John has become our newest member, and we very much appreciate him calling in and becoming a member. You can join him, by the way. All you have to do is make the call and make the pledge. 585-966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. You can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And when you do all of that, you, like John, will help us assure that this show and this station stay on the air. Now, do we have enough? Does John want to talk
John's,
to us?
Yeah, John's online for a question, too.
Oh, all right. Excellent. John, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Thank you so much, John. We appreciate it very, very much. What can we do for you?
Well, I've got a passport external hard drive for my Mac, and I would love to be able to bring in all my MP3s into work for my Windows laptop, but the Windows laptop does not read the Mac external hard drives. And I tried getting Paragon HFS onto my laptop, and I still have some hair on my head left after pulling it all out. But any ideas? How does one read a Mac formatted external hard drive on a laptop?
Well, there are a couple of different ways to do it. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you have to install the HFS for Windows. Paragon is probably one of the bigger connections, bigger softwares.
And you're having trouble with that? How?
Well, I went online, and apparently, so my trouble was that I downloaded the trial, and then I couldn't do it, so I tried to get rid of it, so then I paid for it. But you can't uninstall it. Like, the internet is filled with complaints about people trying to figure out how to uninstall it so they can correctly download it again. And so
right.
I can't, you know, catch 22.
Right. All right, listen, you please hold on the line.
All right.
We unfortunately have to take a break. It's going to be a slightly longer break, but everybody hold on. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, John from Rochester, our newest member. Here during this pledge drive, we hope you will call in 585-966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, and we'll be back with a whole nother hour of sound bites on member-supported, let me say it again, member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on member supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we have John from Rochester, New York, on the line about Paragon. See?
So the two halves to the question.
Wait, John, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. Two halves to the question. To uninstall the Paragon software, if the Windows uninstaller isn't working, you can try the Revo uninstaller for Windows. It's a third-party program we've recommended for cleanly
and
completely removing programs, because quite often even the Windows uninstaller doesn't completely remove it. You can then try to reinstall it and get it working in Windows, but the easier option might be to make a Windows disk on your Mac. So you can reformat that hard drive in Windows FAT32 format. You will lose everything that's on the drive already when you do a reformat, so be aware of that.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah. The third thing you could do is
get another drive and format that for Windows to begin with.
No, the music exists. It's on the external hard drive.
Right. The third thing you can
collection of MP3s.
Yeah.
Right.
So get a new blank disk and format that for Windows and copy the music on it, and then you have a Windows version.
The third thing you can try is to share the folder. Can't you share a folder
through the network? Yes, but he wants to go between work and home.
Well, so if I brought my laptop in, my work laptop into the house, how do you share a folder through the network?
On the Macintosh, you go into the System Preferences under File Sharing, and you can pick which folders you want to share to the network.
Oh.
And then on the other computer, you access the shared network.
You open up the network
in the sidebar thingy. What do they call it under Windows? Probably the sidebar.
It's the sidebar. So you open up any folder, and on the side you'll see, you know, pictures and documents and yada yada. Yeah. You'll also see network.
So System Preferences on the Mac.
On the Mac, under File Sharing, yep.
Look for network first or file sharing?
File sharing.
Look for file sharing.
And you can choose a folder to share. You'll also have to turn on Windows file sharing, which is an option in the sharing preference. Normally it's only Mac to Mac, but you can turn on Windows sharing as well.
Oh, and that's like a checkbox or something?
Yep,
there's just a checkbox. And then when you bring your work laptop home, you can copy all your stuff from one machine to the other. Now, that may take a while, depending on the speed of your network.
Yeah.
But you don't care. Let it happen overnight. What do you care?
So I've never done this before. So network file sharing, so I can do that through Wi-Fi?
Anything.
Well, yeah, Wi-Fi is slower than Ethernet, but it will still work.
Okay. Yeah. And like I said, it's slow, but it's going to, let it happen overnight. You don't care. And the other thing is, now you've got another copy of that, of those files.
Yeah, that
which is good anyway. Yeah.
Now this is before I go any farther.
Yes.
Let me legally say, this is assuming that you have the right to these MP3 files and that you are legally allowed to have copies of them, and secondarily that your work does not mind if you move non-work files onto your work laptop. That's between you and your consenting adult computers. But I have to legally say,
right?
Okay, so
cover our butt.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, but once all the legal ramifications are cleared away, that's how you do it.
Cool. All right. Thank you.
And I hope you're a member, because we just gave you.
He just joined.
Oh, that's right. You just joined. Yeah. That's right. And
rejoining.
The prodigal son returns. We love to hear that too.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, John.
Bye.
Bye-bye. See that? We saved him hundreds of dollars in another...
I forgot to mention. Sorry.
He's still listening.
Go ahead. He's listening. Of course he is.
He said he had a Western Digital Passport hard drive. Ironically, Western Digital makes really, really good hard drives, but we have found they make really crappy external chassis. Especially the MyBook chassis tend to fail frequently, and then you open the plastic chassis up, pull the Western Digital hard drive out of it, and put it in another chassis. It works fine.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
Just that. I think it's the manufacturers who are ever making those little circuit boards.
Yeah.
Because I have had two clients come in with external terabyte hard drives, and they won't boot up. But yet you can put them up to here, and you can hear them spinning. And I go, the answer is they're getting is, well, send it back and they'll send you another one.
Yeah.
Well, all the information on there is gone.
Yep.
Right.
And they go, no, I don't want that. I says, well, if you want, I can get you an external new external case, pop it in there.
You can try. It's not terribly expensive.
Yep.
But here's the thing, though. Once I open that case, that destroys any warranty on that case.
Right.
They go,
especially the MyBook, because you can't get it open very easy.
Well, they go, it's well worth it.
Yeah.
And so far, I'm 3 for 3.
Yeah, so inside the external hard drives is basically a SATA to USB circuit board.
Yeah, right.
Takes the SATA hard drive.
And that's what's failing. Those are going left and right, because the drives nowadays are pretty solid. You know what I mean?
It doesn't matter what color you get. It's a pretty solid drive.
Yeah, it's just that stupid little circuit board that goes.
Right. So if you can put it in a different case.
Yeah.
And you can buy the cases, not terribly expensive.
Oh, no, they're dirt cheap. And
any SATA drive will fit in them.
Yep.
Just make sure you get a SATA case, a case that says SATA to USB. Pop it in and you're on your way. Or you can get a SATA to network and just put the thing up on your network.
I ordered a couple of them because, I've had a few in, so I've got a few. And boom, do it. Because, matter of fact, one guy needed it right away, and I says, I'll tell you what. He says, how soon can you have it ready for me? I says, come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I spent that evening cracking it open because those cases, they're all fused together.
Sure.
So I had to just split it on open and popped it out, popped it into the new case, boom, popped right on up.
Yep.
Came right on up, no issue. It's, like I say, just whether it's bad resistors or whatever they're using on that little circuit board, they're just not holding up to the surges, because once you plug them in, they come right on up. It's not like you plug them in and then got to turn an on button. Boom. I think it's that surge that's killing them.
Oh, so, could be. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, it's
certain. Because they're pulling electricity. It's only a few volts, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, it's still enough. But if they got, you know, crappy material.
Right. If you were to look at the board closely enough, you might find there's a popped
resistor or something on there, diode or whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, why bother when the new ones are so cheap? Absolutely.
No, absolutely.
So listen, if you're having a computer issue, please feel free to give us a call, 585-966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. And we will be happy to solve your problem, or we will just give you opinions. Because opinions are like belly buttons.
Everybody's got one.
Exactly. And everybody except theoretically Adam and Eve, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, the basic idea here is that we are in the middle of a pledge drive, and we need your help. We are under our budgeted amount. We need to make up the difference. Unlike so many other systems, we don't have a fallback position. We don't have national grants, federal grants, local grants, any kind of grants. The money that keeps this station running comes from you and nobody else. So it's time to be an adult. It's time to step up and take responsibility for the things you do and donate to this station. It's very easy to do, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. And, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Whether you want to
keep Rob busy.
And keep Rob busy. And whether you want to donate because you're with us or because you want to make radio great again, we don't care which the reason is. We need you to call and make the pledge. Doing that, make sure that this show stays on the air. You tune in every week. You must care whether or not we're here.
Yeah.
And you can make that happen by making the call and making the pledge. In addition, and by the way, if you call, there are clothing options, gifts that you can get at the various levels. If you pledge at the $90 and 10 cent level or above, get it 90-10. It's the frequency, Kenneth. What you do is you can get the Jazz 90.1 membership card. And that card gives you 2-for-1 deals in lots and lots and lots of restaurants. You can see it online. You can read it online at jazz901.org. If you pledge, you'll get that, and it will be, believe me, you'll make way more back than your
There are so many great places to go out and dine, and it, like Nick was saying, it's 2-for-1.
At the 110, it's 2-for-1.
$90 level, $90 and 10 cents. You know, right there, you get that as a tax write-off, and we throw you the card, and you turn around and save more money. You know, just on a few times out, it's, you know, you've made your money back whatever you donated.
I can't tell you how many times my wife and I have said, "You want to go out to supper? Yeah, where do you want to go?" And we look at the list.
Yeah, and go down. And that's the other thing, though. Just if you go and see that list right now on our website, jazz901.org, you'll see the list of the members that are on that membership card. And Rob is constantly, almost weekly, trying to get that to change and adding more and more, you know, people on that you can then go ahead and use that card, because that's what you do. You just go to that list and you show them the card, and they'll honor it.
Yep. And it's well worth. Is this person got a question? No. Okay. It's well worth it. It's a beautiful thing. And what I like about it is it gives us the chance to try new restaurants cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, like to, you know, I've heard about this restaurant. I'd really like to go. I don't know that we're going to go as a couple. It's going to cost
us
money.
It hurts half as much.
It hurts half as much. Exactly right.
Half as less.
Let me also thank Edward from Canandaigua for his generous donation. Thank you, Edward. Edward is one of the people who is helping us to keep this station alive. And all he had to do to make that happen is to make a pledge. It was easy. It took him less than 2 minutes. It happened while we were talking about it. And he was able to make his pledge. And because of him, we're going to be able to keep this station open just a little longer. And now it's your turn. We need you to follow John and William and William and Edward and all the people who also pledged over the last couple of weeks. It's real easy to do. And when you do, you assure that this program and this station will stay on the air. But the only way that's ever going to happen is if you call and make the pledge. 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, or of course pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Listen, if you're one of those people who listens to the podcast, and I know for a fact there are hundreds of you who download the podcast every week, do your part. I promise you, if every single one of you pledged $10, we'd be well on our way. If every one of you pledged $35, this pledge drive would be over. Mm-hmm. Trust me with that. And all we need you to do is make that pledge. You can do it safely online at jazz901.org. I did it yesterday. It took me less than 2 minutes. One of the choices is they ask you who you're pledging for. Please check sound bites. We would love to have you as our newest member. And honestly, we'd love to stay on the air. My wife would prefer if I went down to the public market on Saturdays with her and kept the coffee yeah, stand open.
There you go.
But we're doing this, and I personally would prefer to do this because it gets dang cold at the public market. And
so for God's sakes, make a pledge and keep us away from our wives.
For God's sake, help us out. Just make the call and make the pledge. It's real easy to do. 585-966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. While you do that, we will take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Meenik, Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. It is Sound Bites on the truly great and barely member-supported at this point, Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno. Join me tomorrow from 12 to 2 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Well, here comes another...
For at least this week.
Yeah, for at least this week, we'll see. Here comes another television story. Here's a quote to start this with. The $85 billion AT&T deal for Time Warner won't win regulatory approval. We will continue our current course, even if it does. Will a line of major media consolidation dominoes, including titans like Disney, Fox, and Comcast, begin to fall? Not likely. Such was the chilly reaction to that senior entertainment executives had on Monday regarding AT&T's purchase of Time Warner. Even as many analysts speculated in the opposite direction, contending that the deal may force a vast reshaping of the media business as the big seek to compete by getting even bigger. We think the likelihood of a Fox bid for Sky now rises, said one analyst, referring to the pan-European satellite television and internet company. Another analyst said, can Comcast really resist buying T-Mobile? A third analyst contended that Disney should be strongly considering acquiring Netflix. Netflix, the newest Disney princess. Yeah. The upshot, there is little agreement Monday about what the aftershocks of AT&T's weekend acquisition of Time Warner, home to Harry Potter and Game of Thrones, might look like.
Maneuvering, however, was in full force. Some senior media executives said they were assessing what concessions they might be able to extract from AT&T in return for support of its acquisition. At the same time, Hollywood's two biggest remaining content conglomerates, the Walt Disney Company and 21st Century Fox, indicated they would fight the deal in Washington. The AT&T Time Warner deal underscores the old industry adage that... Now, I should point out, this is Time Warner Media, not Time Warner Cable, which is going to be called what? Spectrum or some other S word? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. The AT&T Time Warner deal underscores the old industry adage that content is king. The agreement also highlighted the need for entertainment companies to band together so that they would have more heft in negotiations with the larger and larger cable, satellite, and wireless companies. Before AT&T and Time Warner, the media industry was abuzz over the marriage of CBS and Viacom. In September, the ailing 93-year-old mogul Sumner M. Redstone and his daughter Sherry Redstone, or perhaps Shari Redstone, called for CBS and Viacom to explore an all-stock deal that would leave the family in control of the combined company. Special board committees at both companies are evaluating the proposed reunification. The company split in 2006. On Monday, some analysts and media executives said they were expecting the AT&T Time Warner deal to accelerate those considerations. The AT&T Time Warner deal underscores the old industry adage that content is king, they said. The agreement also highlighted the need for entertainment companies to band together so they would have more heft in negotiations. But while such a deal may be crucial for the survival of Viacom, which has struggled mightily, the same may not be true for CBS, which is in more of a position of strength. Any CBS-Viacom deal requires winning over Leslie Moonves, the chief executive of CBS, who has expressed doubt over the corporate marriage. The latest development may well give Mr. Moonves more bargaining power. So how do you feel about the consolidation of content and delivery? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
Well, this is something, though, you know, more and more of the stations like CBS, NBC, and everybody else are, you know, offering alternatives, you know, that you can go ahead and sign up for their service and stream it right over your computer or whatever and not miss anything and save yourself quite a bit of money.
The problem that we're seeing is that people are saying this will lead to the balkanization of entertainment. That is to say, if you're on AT&T and they own a bunch of channels, you may not get those channels if you're a Viacom customer or you're a, you know, whatever customer. I don't think that's true because they want your money.
Well, yes. We've already seen that happen with Netflix. But it's happening at the other end.
Right.
I think it was AT&T was saying we're not going to, and Comcast were saying we're not going to pass Netflix video unless Netflix pays us. So Netflix has to start paying extra to someone else's provider. So Netflix has their own provider they get on the internet with. They have to pay a different provider so that that provider will send the content to their customers. And so it's like Netflix, say they use Comcast, and we're here on Time Warner. If we want to watch Netflix, Netflix has to pay Time Warner too.
Yep.
And that's the problem that...
And that's why your Netflix bill went up, by the way. It had nothing to do with the people at Netflix.
So what Netflix has had to do is pay all the providers individually and separately. And they've also started putting servers inside the... major hubs, major ISP hubs, so that the traffic doesn't have to go through the rest of the internet. It can go, you know, directly from your ISP to you. Right. But that means it's more expensive for Netflix. And if we had true net neutrality, where the net was neutral and it didn't matter who you were or where your data came from, then that wouldn't have been the case. So
right.
Netflix has the money to be able to pay for that. But smaller studios like us, we wouldn't be able to pay AT&T to carry our feed, and we wouldn't be able to pay Comcast to carry our feed.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not get us if these types of deals go through.
Right. That's exactly right. And so we're seeing some trepidation in the industry. And what I think will eventually shake out is things will cost us more. Because in the long run, we're the ones who pay. Things will cost us a little more. Like Netflix went up, not horribly up, but it went up from $8 to $12 a month. I guess that's a 50% increase. Mm-hmm. That is pretty horrible.
That's because not because they needed or wanted more money, but because they need to pay all of the other carriers for the privilege of providing you with Netflix. And if you've got a problem with that, then don't yell at Netflix.
Yeah. It's a cost of doing business that was something that was imposed upon them, and to still provide you with that service that you have come accustomed to, an uninterrupted service, you know, they just, like you said, there was nothing they asked for, or they would have gladly, you know, said, no, forget it. But, you know, it's these other companies that are imposing these tariffs on it.
Right. Even with that, of course, Netflix is going like gangbusters. People are buying it left and right.
It's still those services like Sling and Amazon and Hulu and Netflix, all those, they're still cheaper than some of the other major carriers like Comcast and these others that are out there.
Yeah.
You know, and you're being told what channels you want, whereas a lot of these other services, you can pick and choose. Like we were talking before, say one package like Sling, you can add either the blue or orange packages, and then they have other sports packages and this other stuff, and you add the channels that you really want, and that's the way more of them are getting, that you can pick and choose the channels which mean are important for you that you watch, because a lot of them through these bigger corporations, they just say, here it is, and this is what you're going to pay.
Yep.
And they could be other channels that, you know, you could care less about and don't really want, but you're paying for them anyways. Because that's what comes in the bundle. Too bad. Whereas these other companies are giving you selections.
Right, right. I'll tell you, I've been tracking, and this is something we all have to do if we want to follow Dave yeah. the Trendsetter. Can't call him Boom Boom anymore, no. So I have to give him a new name.
Yeah.
Dave the Trendsetter, and cut the cord and do that. You need to sit down and decide what it is you watch.
Yep.
And how you can watch it. So, you know, my wife, big fan of certain TV shows, all of which are available through the antenna.
Mm-hmm.
I watch a lot of movies. So for me, it's things like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch a lot less TV than I used to.
Yeah, same here.
And so, you know, I'm not that super excited about cable one way or the other. And certainly, you know, for my cable bill going up, that doesn't excite me anymore.
Well, that's when my last bill all of a sudden came in. No, sorry. And that's what made me do the decision. And there was, like I've told you before, there was only what was holding me back was the, as far as the Hallmark channels. And like Steve had said, well, you just got to wait for them to come out of contract. He no sooner said that.
Yep.
The following week, all of a sudden I get a notice. Oh, they've been released. And now they're part of this company's package. Yep. For $5 more a month. I go, if I get this and this, boy, I'm saving quite a bit of money, and it's great. I've been 2 weeks now.
The big thing is,
and I love it.
Right. And the big thing is you change your viewing habits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing when people say, well, I can't go from a Mac to a PC because I can't learn the new thing. Yeah. You know what? You can. In fact, learn the new thing.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of learning the new thing.
Yeah.
And the same thing with television. You have to learn the new thing, which is this show, I click over to this input, and now I can watch it over the air. I click into that input, and I watch it through the Roku box. I click into that input, and I watch it over my Chromebook. All you have to do is be able to make the little clicks.
You can't remember your show by channel number anymore. You have to remember by network, because that's how most of the things
work. Well, within the Roku, though, you can also set up favorites.
Yeah.
Yep. And which I'm still learning how to do that, because I haven't quite gotten there yet. But I just love that I can, you know, say, go to DYI or one of these other TNT, boom, the current one's right there. Or I can go back to that network and check some of the older episodes. Like I love CW, The Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all those other programs, The Flash. And I've been able to catch up on previous episodes.
Right, right, right. So you have to remember which channel is actually
And for me, it's either
CBS ABC or NBC.
Yeah, I just go between, my antenna, like you, with the external antenna, which gives me 8, 10, 13, and CW. Boom, I'm good there. And otherwise, I switch over to the Roku box. That gives me, like you said, I made a list of all the other channels that I love to watch. And I searched, did my homework on what packages are out there, and selected that particular company, and I went with it. And like I say, it's been 2 weeks, and I love it.
And in a lot of cases, you can find stuff, particularly like on the Roku box, that you've never seen before, like Crunch TV and things like that. Is it something that you're interested in? Who knows? But you know what? It's already there. Pick it up, take a look at it, see if you like it.
I caught a note because I was on the antenna, thumbing through, one of the channels, and hit an old episode of Andy of Mayberry.
There you go.
When Opie was still a little kid.
Yep, yep.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, and he comes running into the sheriff's office. Hey, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
And, now you can get that on TV Land, but guess what? You can also get it over the air, and you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, and the other nice thing about it is I can also I put it on my tablet.
Right.
So I take it to work, and if I want to watch an episode in that, I just pull it up because we got the Wi-Fi there at work. And I just run that app, and away I go. I can sit there and watch it.
We here at Soundbites and Jazz 90.1 do not advocate watching television at work. You should be doing your job.
At lunch, I can.
At lunch, you can do anything you want.
Yeah, that's what I do.
That's exactly right. And that's the other thing. You know, I was talking to a friend of ours who has a Google Fi, the phone that works over the net, over wireless.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was thinking about the same thing with my Chromebook, where do I not have wireless? Well, in my car, when a Google Fi, you can also get on the Sprint or AT&T network, whichever one happens to be stronger, at that time. But when I'm driving, I don't have wireless. Well, particularly for my Chromebook, I'm certainly not going to be playing with my Chromebook while I'm driving. So
yeah,
that's not
so.
Really a hardship.
Yeah.
And I suppose when I'm at the beach, but then these things work offline beautifully. But the basic idea is you're right. If you've got it, and particularly now, if you're going to have the Android stuff on your Chromebook.
That's going to be a biggie.
You should be able to do whatever you want that way as well. So if you want to sit and watch a movie on your Chromebook, as long as you've got Wi-Fi, you'll be able to do it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Please. Give us a call. Make the pledge. Keep us on the air. 585-966-5299. 1-800-790-0415. Securely online at jazz901.org. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you 39 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, hopefully continuing to be member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Corey Hallin. Join me every Sunday morning till 8 a.m. right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Frank. We want to thank Frank from Tucson, Arizona for his generous donation. I believe Tucson is Odom language for holy crow. It's hot. It is hot. Hot. My daughter's in Tucson going to grad school at the U of A.
Cool.
And she's an East Coast girl. Mm. She's for the first She's in her second year now, but for the first few months, she was a little, it was a little tough for her. Yeah, it's a little tough for her. And now to the phones, we have Joel from Pittsford, New York on the line. Hiya, Joel, what's up?
Yes, hi, guys. First of all, I want to let you know I'm a member and I enjoy the show.
That's what we want to hear.
Appreciate all you do. The reason for the call is I can't listen to the show live on Saturday mornings and or Saturday afternoons until about two-thirds of the way through, and I've been trying to set up Total Recorder to record the show. But when I go to the Listen Live link on the Jazz 901 page, I get an M3U file that has to be manually opened.
Yep.
And unless I'm there, of course, to open it, I can't record. So
yep.
Is there another way around?
No, yep. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Yeah, oh, wait. You probably want to know what that way is now. Well, geez, and crackers, you're...
Boy. Sure. Because he's a member, we could tell him.
We're happy to tell him. So if you go to the Listen Live stream and you scroll...
Did you also have a question?
Where'd it go?
All right.
Ooh, they changed something. Oh, there's a low bandwidth. No, that's not going to do it. Hold on. I'll get there. I can give you the address. I'll just give you... Hold on. Let me just log
in. I tried that, and that was also an M3U.
Yeah, it is. You should... hold on. I'm just logging into another machine somewhere. And hold on. Boy, oh boy. I have to look that up. Where did I leave that?
Did they move that Listen Live in the top corner?
No, that's... Oh, yeah, I see. Okay. In my Soundbites directory, can't get SB. Okay. I am listening to the, I am using the stream. Well, okay. There's a couple of things you could try. One is, of course, you should be able to open the M3U file, and it is just a text file.
Right. But I can't do that. I have to be there to do that.
Well, no. I mean, you can open it up and see what site it's going to.
Mm-hmm.
Did that make sense?
I can try that.
I just downloaded it. I'm just waiting for it to show up. Where are my downloads? Here they are, and I just need to find that one. And let me open that. Oh, that's gonna. Oh, yeah, here it is. It seems to be going to http://greece.media.monroe.edu/wgmc2.mp3. So if you open up that M3U file, it's just a text file.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically the first couple of lines are blah, blah, blah for the M3U format, the protocol. But the last line is the actual MP3 stream.
Okay. Well, I will give that a try. Thank you very much.
And also, of course, you can download the archives directly from our site every, Steve gets them up by Sunday.
Monday-ish.
Usually
Sunday afternoon.
Usually Sunday afternoon.
Right.
Definitely by Monday-ish. But if you want to record them, I'm doing the same exact thing. I record them in two places because I used to be a system administrator, and having more than one copy of something is... a way of life for me. I do the same thing. I do it in Linux. So the MP3, the M3U will work for me with MPlayer or whatever. But basically, yes, that is exactly the thing you want to do. Download the M3U. Actually, the one I was looking at was the low power stream. But download the M3U, pop it open with a text editor, read it, and then the bottom line will be the MP3 stream.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Have fun. I hope you're a member. I also want to thank Mike. That's what I like to hear.
Yep.
Thanks. I also want to thank Mike from Lackawanna, New York, for his generous donation. Thank you very much, Mike. We very much appreciate it. It is people like you who keep this show on the air. It is you who is going to keep us here coming back week after week.
That's an unfortunate camera position.
That can't be right.
That's very good. I like that all the way around. I like that. All right.
And we finally have the video stream up and running. I'm trying a different program now, Open Broadcaster, which is an open source broadcasting streaming utility, since we have trouble getting the Google Hangouts here behind the proxy server. And it took a while to get all the settings to work because there's so many little hidden settings.
Right.
So hopefully that will work faster next time, and we'll be able to get on the video stream sooner.
Yep.
Yeah, he'll be on the
answer. Excellent. All right, we have Dave is on the phone picking up another caller, but when he's done, we will go to Jack from Ontario. Is that Ontario, New York, or Ontario, Canada?
I don't think so. Not Canada. No. Just okay. On a road.
Okay. What can we do for you, Jack?
Listen, I have a problem trying to see the text on my computer and. Or I'd like to know, is there some way real quickly that I could make the letters dark? Because my eyesight is starting to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What browser are you using?
I'm doing Google. And then I also have Mozilla, but I'd rather do the Google thing.
Sure. There are a couple of ways that you can do this. One, of course, you can make them bigger.
Yes, that's not going to help. I need to change the background because it's gray on white. You know, when I read emails and all that stuff like that.
Right. Wow. Okay. There used to be a way to do that. Let me think fairly quickly about how one does that.
Somewhere in options.
Right.
There are also some plugins you can load.
Yeah, I tried that too, but things just doesn't work. I mean, doesn't change nothing. I don't know. I mean, is it what it is or what? I can't see it. I'm straining my eyes just to.
Yeah. Most websites are designed to be black text on a white background.
What if you'd go right into, if he's running Windows and you go into the display, into the control panel of the display?
Yep.
And on the display, you know, there's, you know, you can get these cute. What version of Windows are you running?
10.
All right, that's okay. Yeah, go into the control panel, and under the display, you know, it has the various themes. Then you can also select solid colors. So you can have black background and white lettering.
Right. That will help for Windows, but it doesn't help in Chrome.
Exactly.
And so in Chrome, what you want to do is there is an extension called Change Color. And you get to that through the Google Chrome extensions. You go into the menu and you select either extensions or more tools and then extensions, depending on which version you've got. And you search for something called Change Color. You install that, and then you will see, you know, the URL field where you type in addresses,
like yes.
Google.com. Okay, you'll see a new icon that will let you change the background color, the text color, the links color, the visited links color. And you can either apply or remove those color options as you wish.
Okay, so I have to just go to, let's see. Oh, okay, I'm not doing it now, but the thing is that I'm trying to remember this here. I'll figure it out then.
The Google Extension Store.
Oh, can I just type that in there and it'll come up?
Well, what you do is you open up your extensions, and at the bottom of that whole list of extensions, there's a link that says Get More Extensions.
Oh.
And that brings you to the store where you can just type in, what did I say, Change Colors with an S.
Oh.
And then it'll bring that up. And
I posted the link, too.
And the link is up. Okie doke.
Okay. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I'll go to the link and I'll check that out.
Perfect.
And, thank you very much. And I already gave.
That's what I'd like to hear.
Okay, so we're out.
Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Okay. All right. Wow, I've lost complete track of time. I do know we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. We'll be back next week. I absolutely must thank John, William, Edward, Frank, and Mike for their generous donations. And we'll be back next week with a whole lot more sound bites and the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours. Bye-bye.